You ask people to stop offending me because you said I was so ignorant I took everything as a compliment. Am I speaking correctly? Yeah. Because he was frustrated. It was a waste of time. You're an idiot. Thank you. You're absolutely insane. Oh, praise God. I was asked to use the blue marker because it shows up better back there. Is that correct? Well, it dawned on me why I was being asked that as well, because I was asked about Ron Paul at the same time. And Ron Paul is part of this new revolution of love, and here's how I saw this. I've been a supporter of Ron Paul for 30 years, and so I've known about him forever, it seems like. But he had his first major internet campaign fundraising day on the anniversary of the Boston Tea Party in December 2007. And that was coincidental with the sign of the new American Revolution. And this has been their slogan, Ron Paul Revolution. And notice they do these four letters backwards in blue because it spells love backwards. And Boston's where the curse was reversed by the Red Sox in 2004 and 2008, the double portion. And this is the reverse of the curse, and it's done by love. And I was looking at that, and I realized going out from the heart is an artery or red. But when it returns, it's a blue vein. So on Jesus' return to the heart, it's a revolution of love. Now, how could I make that up? I'm not smart enough to make that up. I just listen to your Father because He makes up everything. And somehow He makes it all work together. Bob, He even made you. For our pleasure, because you are a comedian.
No, for His pleasure.
Yeah, well, and ours.
We're a card, Tom.
Yes, we are. We are. The court jesters. The jokers are wild. Okay. The Twin Towers. Once the Twin Towers appeared in the garden, then things are really going to start to happen. Jesus crowned king in 97. The Twin Towers are appearing in the Garden of Edenborough in 97. All kinds of things going on. Kind of secretly almost. In 98, Harry Carey dies. He was a Chicago Cubs broadcaster in baseball for a long time. And his signature was, holy cow, you know. And a funny guy died at 84. And it dawned on me, died during the Japanese Winter Olympics that year. And the Spirit says to me, somebody just committed Harry Carey. And I knew who it was. I knew it's the people who organized the Olympics. Because they're the same guys that own the banks. And they put on a show of public competitions. There is no public competition. These things are selected way ahead of time. That's just for the public to give an appearance. And they're following their occultic symbolisms and their message. And if you follow all the Olympics, you can see they're getting more and more. They're doing their own version of the man-child. The Greek Olympics in 2004, the woman's pregnant. She's got a globe, a lit-up globe, birthing the New World Order. All right? Well, in 98, the Japanese Winter Olympics were taking place, and Harry Carey dies. 3 years later, 2001, they committed Harry Carey. Jesus Christ was the first, he was born on Rosh Hashanah, all right? Stephen's got an excellent booklet on that. Rosh Hashanah, September 29th, 2 BC. Isaiah 9:6 says, unto us a child is born. It dawned on me, he was the first Rosh child, right? Correct me if I'm wrong. Bob's with us. As they say in poker, the pot's right. Okay?
No, this is great because they think they're in charge, but...
Bob. Yeah, that's right, Bob. What about
He's
Bob?
The real head of the Rock Sound Bank.
You don't say. Look at this. I did that in blue. I'm going to do these guys in red. All right. the red shield, right? Guess what? There's two guys in the Bible that are ruddy, redheads. Who are they? David and Esau. David and Rosh is even the red-headed poppy plant, Rosh Hashanah. David and Esau. I'm telling you, when Pat Buchanan said that the State Department, i.e. Camp David, was Israeli occupied territory, I think he knew what he was talking about. Who's controlling Camp David? The redheads. They're supposed to, at least according to Stephen's book. And he's quoting from Genesis 27:40, is it? Where Esau is given a period of time to shake the yoke from his neck, from Jacob. Remember, the elder is going to serve the younger. You and I each have David and Esau, Jacob and Esau within us, don't we? I mean, it's just a picture of that which is within us, that love of mammon and money, that rebellious spirit, versus the one that will submit. So really, it's a reflection of what's going on within us, all right? So you have the Rothschild, in Father's very clever way, coming to overthrow the Rothschild. And how'd they do that? How'd they commit Harry Carey? Tell you how they did it, my view. The architect, how'd they commit Harry Carey? Kill themselves. The architectural firm that designed the Twin Towers, that firm, you can look it up online today, Emery, Roth, and Sons. That's the Rothschilds' towers. This is symbolism, but the Rothschilds took down their own towers, so to speak. Remember, man's towers, in sacred geometry, straight lines are masculine, matter, man. Curves, circles, that's the feminine. Those square towers came down once the twin towers appeared in the Garden of Edenborough in Dali. Because Dali is appearing in the Garden again, Eve. And once that happens, everything is coming down. Jesus is being crowned king. Now, this happened symbolically on the same day that the two temples in Israel were destroyed in at the time of the Babylonian takeover.
September 11th.
Stay with us, bud. On the ninth day... ninth day of the 11th month, or the ninth of Av. I've been to Israel twice, and they still have a 21-day mourning period over there every year leading up to the ninth of Av, which is always late July or early August in sackcloth and ashes, commemorating the destruction of the two towers, or the two temples of Israel, Herod's temple and Solomon's temple, on the same day of the year. The Bible seems to imply the 10th of Av, but it's really probably a two-day thing, and I can squeeze that out of there. But that's what they commemorate. That's what the rabbis do, the 9th of Av. And you'll see in a minute how this fits here. This is always late July or early August. And before this happened, 2001, I was watching for a couple of years when I was clued into this. And, you know, why would those two temples be destroyed on the same day, 656 years apart? Why? Come on. They're going to do it again. And they were both destroyed for the same reason, a love of money. In fact, Jesus cast the money changers out of Herod's temple right before, and that's when they took him down. And Solomon's was done for the same reason, without going into all the detail there. And so I'm watching late July, early August, and I go, you won't do it then. You never do it when it's so obvious. But if I think it won't be obvious, then you'll do it when it's obvious. So I don't know when you're going to do it. So I let him have it. I took him to the woodshed. And then I couldn't sit down for 3 months again. So there was a pattern every time I took the father to the woodshed. I see Bob's had father in the woodshed too. Okay.
You're smart.
Bob. Yeah. Okay. Ninth of okay. All right, I'm watching Ninth of Av. Now, you and I, that's the ninth day of their 11th month in the civil year, which starts in the fall at Rosh Hashanah. So that's late July or early August. You and I here in America, we write the ninth day of our 11th month like this, don't we? 11-9? Because we write left to right. But in the Middle East, they write right to left. So they'd write it 9/11. Well, guess what?
11th month, 9th day for us.
9th day, 11th month. Yeah.
11/9 means 11th month.
Bob.
Day.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Same day.
Gotcha.
It's just written like our 9/11. You're right.
Gotcha.
Right now. Does that look familiar? That's Manhattan.
Okay. Gotcha.
There's a street up here. Goes like this. Here's the towers way down here. Okay? Now this street up here that splits the towers, you can go to the map and see it's called 9th Ave. It's called 9th Ave.
Woo!
That's a coincidence. When you get down here, when it makes the turn, go to a map and look, you'll see it's called Greenwich then, which is the prime meridian. And what's another name for the prime meridian? Ground zero. All right? Ground zero. Ground zero is the same as saying the ark, because Jesus Christ emptied himself and became of no reputation. That's a zero. The ark is an egg, too, because the tabernacle is the body of a woman. The Holy of Holies is the womb. The Ark of the Covenant is an egg. That's Jesus Christ. That's ground zero. Well, you can figure out Aaron's rod, the two stone testaments, and the hidden manna. Right? It's the impregnation of the soul by the spirit, the masculine spirit into the feminine soul. This is taking place as man's towers are coming down. The street splits the two towers, and the street that fronts the two towers is called church. Father has a sense of humor, doesn't he? Now, these two towers were each 110 stories tall. 110. These towers symbolize many things coming down. Many things. One of them was the collapse of the 110-220 system. Because I'm going to tell you, the 110-220 system is coming down. It emits a harmful 60 hertz cycle frequency. It's harmful to the body. That is coming down. 60 means pride, too. Gary, am I going fast enough now? Where are you?
Keep going.
There you are. You want me to speed it up?
Yeah.
Okay. You're getting some negative opposition here. 110-220 is coming down. How many know what the Hezekiah factor is? All right. Most of us know that's a 10 degrees on the sundial, a sign that God told Isaiah he would confirm to him that he was going to give him 15 additional years of life, because Hezekiah didn't have a son. He had to have a son, didn't he, to carry on. He said, hey, come on. So he gave him 15 years additional, and he moved the sundial 10 degrees. And Steve interpreted that in October 2nd of 94 as 10 years. And we've applied that in a number of instances very effectively over years. By the way, who remembers the name of the man-child that Hezekiah had?
Manasseh.
Manasseh. Ah, Manasseh is the name of the man-child. Getting closer. Manasseh. All right, Manasseh's a man-child. All right, here's what we've got going here. The 9th of Av, 2001, the towers are coming down. Each of those towers were 110 stories in height.
Yeah, but the minute Harry carried, they brought it down.
They brought it down themselves. It's all going to come out. Don't worry. Don't worry. It's coming out. And in binary, without going into this, kids, 110 in binary is the same as a 6, all right? And so those were each, that's 6-6. And Evelyn, what did they say the Federal Reserve amount of gold was under those two towers for weeks? You kept the newspaper article, remember? Remember how much? 110 million worth of gold. So what we had at the Twin Towers was a 666, right?
Yes.
Because the two towers reach 110 stories tall, and they said there was 110 million buried under there. It turned out to be over a billion eventually, but that's secondary. The news media kept calling it 110. They kept calling it the belly of the beast and ground zero. This is 666. Do you know the cross was also 666. By the way, Samuel, our young Irish friend here, told me, and I've never done this, the heart in English gematria using A is 1 and Z is 26 and all the letters in between B2, C3 equals 52. Perfect. The breach is being repaired in our heart. Obama has an English gematria of 32, so God's covenant is going to take place in his heart. And I usually use this. The heart in Hebrew has a gematria of 32. The Hebrew letters for heart are Lamed, which means authority, and Beth, which means house. So in Hebrew, the heart is a house of authority. That's out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaks. Right? And what, this is what is happening now. The Father is changing our heart. And remember, are we to curse our leaders? If you curse your leader, you are judging the intent of the Father as evil for putting him there. And we have borne false witness against our neighbor, the Father, and we come under the judgment of cursing our leaders. That make sense? If I curse myself. Paul said we're to speak evil of 5% of people, didn't he? In Thessalonians. Or what did he say? He said, speak evil of no man. No man. That's why even when he slapped the high priest, who had it coming because the guy was a jerk, Paul repented. David repented when he cut off the skirt of Saul. Because touch not God's anointed. And we can't speak evil of our dear brethren in the church, organized church. I can tease them and have fun with them, but I can't speak evil about them in my heart, because if what we believe is true, they can't help it. I've had a conversation many times with my Pentecostal friends over the years who really do take offense at Paul's statement where he quotes Jeremiah. And Jeremiah says that some are created as vessels of dishonor. And the people said, well, that's not fair. They don't have a chance. That can't be right, because we have free will. But if you've been created as a vessel of dishonor by the Father, are you going to become a vessel of honor of your own free will? It's impossible. Who can resist the will of God? So in Daniel 4:17, the Father raises up the basest of men to be rulers over you, designed to turn your hearts to repentance. And that's what's been going on, because of the presidents and the legislatures and the judges are just a reflection of our corporate hearts. And the Father is bringing all things to a very lovely end here. Mm-hmm. Now remember this in the days ahead. Is he going for the most glory in this hour?
Yes.
Does he get the most glory if he kills them or converts them? There's some surprising conversions ahead, I think. Okay. Doesn't mean everyone will be converted at this time, but there are going to be a lot of people I think we might not expect. Remember, Persia and who took Babylon?
Media.
And the media. Watch the media. And I don't know this will happen, but I watched it when it took place in 1988, 88 for Jesus. The prophecy came that Tom Brokaw would be slain in the spirit on national television. Hey, I thought when he retired, well, that can't happen. Well, he's back on the air. Well, we'll see. But whether it does or not, there's going to be a lot of conversions coming in the media in the days ahead. All right. Amen. All right. It's looking really bad, isn't it? I mean, it really is in many ways. But we know that the cross is the unfolded Holy of Holies. How many places was Jesus nailed? Three places. Nailed here, here, here. Well, the nail is the sixth letter in Hebrew. All the Hebrew letters have meanings. And the sixth letter in Hebrew is Vav. It has a numerical value of six, and it means nail. So each of those nails symbolically was the same as a 666, wasn't it? Right? 666. Well, we just said that the Twin Towers were 666. Jesus was 666, and the cross is placed right on top of Goliath's skull. You know, the Pentecostals in the evangelical world says that Golgotha is a place of what? the skull. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says the place of a skull. There's a big difference between the skull and a skull. A skull, the skull it's the place of, is Goliath's skull. David cut off the head of Goliath and carried it to Jerusalem for a reason. Does it just vanish into obscurity? No. He was 6 cubits tall. And that represents a giant ego of man. Okay? And the Bible says that one of his kids had 6 fingers and one had 6 toes. 6 fingers represents the work, and the 6 toes, the walk of man. All right? Now, I'm going to blame this next part on Stephen, because it's not my fault. Are you braced, Stephen? All right. If in Ezekiel 4, in the ministry of the wormwood and dung, the word for idols and dung comes out of the same word. So if you have idols in your heart, you're full of what? Dung. Darla was present the day the father called me. What did he call me, Darla? In public. Go ahead. How do you think I felt as a son of God being called by him in public a suppository? I felt blessed. Pardon? Honored. Lifted up. Buoyant. What is the job of a suppository? A massive evacuation. Bob, you've got some serious potential. I think you're on the right track, brother. Before I met Steve, a month before I met Steve, I was taken into the John for Revelation one night on the Great White Throne. After I rebuked Satan because I didn't know any better, the Father said, "Would you sit down and shut up, because tonight we're going to flush all the crap down the toilet and wipe the slate clean." He began to teach me about the vanity being exposed in the Sabbath room. Okay, the place of cleansing. I didn't even know about the removal of traditions yet. For 2,000 years, the Father has spread the seed all over the world. All right? But the seed... Uh-oh. Was it something I said? Okay. Was something I didn't say? Okay. Good night, kids.
Good night.
We enjoy it. The seed has been spread, but the Father has mixed the seed with the traditions of man, with fertilizer. He said, what kind of husband would I be if I didn't fertilize the seed? And so it's been the plan of the Father to mix man's traditions with the seed of Christ. And he said, son, you have a throne room ministry. Do you know what the best thing is? And I said, no. He said, you have a royal flush coming. At the end of that night, he said to me, watch which way the water flows in the toilet when you flush it. Flow counterclockwise. I mean, come on. Had any of you thought of looking before that? And I knew that was the reverse of the curse in January of 94. The reverse of the curse was going to result in this royal flush. And 4 years later, on November 29th, 1998, Carl Petty, while praying over me, said, thank you, Lord, for making Ronnie suppository of your word. Carl was 82. He wouldn't say suppository if he had a mouthful of it. And he tried to walk away. I said, Carl, would you call me? He said, I was trying to say depository. But I knew I was a suppository. And please, let's cut the camera for the next few seconds, because I want to share this with the gang, because... But people on tape might not understand this. Just so you can see, this is the Father's heart, I think. And if you can hear this by the Spirit, when the body parts were arguing, debating about who was the most important. Remember that joke a few years ago on the internet, so... Right, Steve? Yeah. We've recovered. Okay. There is a coming down of the world systems as the Spirit is rising up now. And it's happening all over the place. And it is completely connected to this repair of the breach. The breach is getting repaired in multiple, multiple ways. But the greatest single sign of the repair of the breach occurred in Isaiah chapter 30, verse 26. I want you to turn there right now. 30:26. Yeah, Isaiah 30:26. 30:26. And it says, moreover, the light of the moon shall be as the light of the sun, and the light of the sun shall be sevenfold as the light of 7 days in the day that the Lord bindeth up the breach. That's what we're having here, right? Bindeth up the breach of his people and healeth the stroke of their wound. The light of the moon, Jericho is the moon. Jericho means moon. And the moon is always the church, because the church has no light of its own but reflects the light of the sun. Does that make sense? Reflects the light of the sun. And in this day, the day that the Lord binds up the breach and heals the stroke, the light of the moon becomes as the light of the sun. Jerusalem has a gematria of 864 in the Greek. And the diameter of the sun just happens to be 864,000 miles. Jerusalem is a hidden picture of the sun. And Jericho is the moon. Now note that Jesus went through Jericho and healed the blind man before he went to the cross at Jerusalem. All right? The blindness of the moon of the church is being healed by the sun. And Jesus is hooked on phonics. So sun and sun are the same thing. Now earlier... And the Bible, before I go further with this, the Bible tells us exactly when this repair of the breach and the healing of the stroke of the wound begins in the verse right before it. And there shall be upon every high mountain and upon every high hill rivers and streams of waters in the day of the great slaughter when the towers fall. When the towers fall is the beginning of the greatest repair of the breach in the history of mankind. And every single thing happening since that time is a continuation of the repair of the breach and the healing of the wound, including our meeting right here this weekend. No matter what it looks like on the surface, this is what is happening. This is New York, isn't it? Turn with me for a second to Amos chapter 9 as well. Amos chapter 9. And we're going to look at verse 11, just one verse here. Amos 9, verse 11. And it says, in that day will I raise up the tabernacle of David that is fallen, and close up the breaches thereof, and I will raise up his ruins, and I will build it as in the days of old. Well, I read that one day, and out of my mouth comes, in that day will I raise up the tabernacle of Camp David that is fallen. See, Camp David is controlled by Esau, or has been. FDR built Camp David initially and called it Shangri-La. Eisenhower changed the name to Camp David for his grandson. The 10th president from Truman was Bush. The 10th president from Eisenhower is Obama. We have a Hezekiah working out right now with this Camp David thing.
The 10th president
from Eisenhower, who named Camp David.
FDR was who? Truman?
No, from Truman to Bush was 10.
Junior. Okay,
Eisenhower to, yeah, all right. Now, this is Washington, D.C. And guess what? The verse is what? 9-11. Amos 9-11. So there we've got New York and Washington, the repair of the breach taking place, even though it doesn't look like it. All right? Are you with me? We're going to come on to this sun and the moon theme here a bit more, because there's a lot going on here. But I want to show you this too. Washington, D.C., and I don't have the map with me. We can bring that tomorrow. But here's the shape of D.C. The city was laid out as a perfect diamond, okay? It's a perfect diamond. And if you look at a baseball diamond, I mean, this is really a square, right?
Yeah.
And home plate's a pentagon.
That's right.
Home plate is a pentagon. We'll just do that. Now, there's 90 feet between the bases in a baseball diamond. So you have 90, 90, 90, 90. That's 360. This is a hidden picture of the squaring of the circle. In sacred geometry, what's called the squaring of the circle, you see how this is a square, but it's also a circle. Jesus did this at the cross. I'll show you in a second. The squaring of the circle in sacred geometry is a hidden picture of the doorway from matter into energy. From energy into matter. This is what science has been trying to do forever. And actually, it's been getting done. You just don't know it. Now, there's an organization that has a square and a compass. Ever seen that before?
Yeah.
That's the squaring of the circle. And the reason they do that, they're showing you they know how to go from energy into matter, and they have for a long time. And they have. Yes. Hold that thought. But Father loves Freemasons. At the cross was a cube. It's a square. Jesus hung there for 360 minutes. He squared the circle. He said he was the door, John 10:10. He is the door from energy into matter. You're only going to go this way through the sheep gate of agape love. Many are trying to get into the kingdom through another door, technologically. Now, if he didn't confuse them, nothing would be impossible for them. They're a long ways down the road, and nothing would be. But ultimately, they will not get into the kingdom except through agape love. There is no other way, through the sheep gate. Your teeth are called sheep in the Song of Solomon. Love, 16 means love is defined by the number 16 in Scripture. That's why you have 16 teeth in your temple on bottom and top. 32 is covenant. The covenant spoken in love, anchored by wisdom on the four corners. Every part of your temple is reflective of the love of God. And your mouth, your teeth are called sheep twice in the Song of Solomon. This is your sheep gate. Okay? Sheep cloned in his image. His sheep hear his voice. Doug talked earlier today about the sheep and the cattle wars. The Bible says in Isaiah, all flesh is as grass. The sheep, the followers, the ones that hear his voice, eat all the flesh down to the bottom, the grass. The cattle don't. Saul wants to leave a little bit, so it can grow back. That's why they had the big wars. In the spirit, it was over David versus Saul. And this spiritual war is going on in many ways. Now, a guy named Bob Jones had a baseball game vision in 1984. And in the vision, he was taken up to a baseball game. And it was the Lord's team versus Satan's. Many of you have heard this before. But the Lord's team was at bat when he got there. It was last of the ninth and two out. And I always say, thank God the Lord had home field advantage. But in the game, Satan was pitching. The first batter that came up was Love. Love got a base hit. He was on first base. Lord tells Bob, Love never fails. Next batter up was Faith. Faith gets a base hit, moves the runners first and second. And the Lord tells Bob, Faith always comes through. Next batter up was Godly Wisdom. I call him GW. First pitch came in. It was a ball. The umpire yelled, ball one. And the Lord tells Bob, Godly Wisdom will never swing at what Satan has to offer. He can't hit the mark. Guess what the next three pitches were? Ball two, ball three, ball four declaration. The bases are loaded, right? Bases are loaded. And the Lord tells Bob, here comes my star player, my star gate player, right? What's his name? His name is Grace. Doesn't look like much. He saw Satan's team even relax because they thought, we'll get out of this. But Grace digs in, first pitch, 666-mile-an-hour curveball. That was my guesstimate. But he crushes it to dead center. Prince of the air is playing center. Almost nothing gets by him. But he goes to the wall. Ball goes off his head, his glove, it's over the fence. It's a grand slam at Denny's. And the Lord tells Bob, love, faith, and godly wisdom will get you on base, but only my grace will get you home. If any of the others would have won the game, you would have thought you did it in your own power. Right? Well, guess what? In the Greek letters, which have been around for thousands of years, the word Lord has a gematria of 800. Jesus is 888. He's the Alpha Omega. That's 1-800, all right? But grace is 911. That's an emergency call. 911. Us, we in Cana, duh, are the only phone systems in the world today, as far as I know, that have these numerical values applied to these ancient letter value numbers. Is that a coincidence? Did Grace hit a home run on 9/11? Is Washington, D.C. shaped like a perfect diamond? Is there a reason George Bush was the only president to ever be a baseball owner that was in office at that time? He was part owner of the Texas Rangers, who played at Arlington, Texas. The inventor of baseball, Abner Doubleday, is buried in Arlington National Cemetery because he was a Union general in the Civil War. There's a resurrection coming. The Father loves baseball. You're going to really see how he loves baseball here. Because at the cross, when Jesus resurrects, the way he's resurrecting now is as the body. He already resurrected as the head. Jesus, the head. Now, he's resurrecting, I believe, as Joshua, the body. The corporate body. All right? A many-membered body. If you look at Matthew 17, 1 and 2, when Jesus was transfigured at Mount Hermon, the Bible says his face shined like the sun. Now, Jesus is the sun. He's the full sun. Right now, the Great Pyramid is not a pyramid, technically, because it's six-sided. It has the four sides, and the capstone is in here, the head, and it's got a top, a bottom, and four sides. It's a number for man. It doesn't become a pyramid until the capstone is placed on it. Well, the capstone is a pyramid all by itself. That's Jesus, the head. Think of this. Jesus is the head. He's also the ark. Now, the ark, Jesus went into the Jordan River 2,000 years ahead of us, didn't he? And was baptized. Guess what? Joshua tells the army in Joshua to stay 2,000 cubits or 2,000 years behind the head. See, the whole book of Joshua is actually a book of what's happening right now. Jericho is the walled-up denominational church system. That's the first city. Guess what AI is? AI is artificial intelligence. That's what's coming. If you don't think artificial intelligence is going to be a big one, you just wait a couple of years. AI is coming. AI wins the first battle. It's only when an ambush comes. The matrix is becoming more and more real. We're really going to see this in the days ahead. So, Jesus is the ark, or the sun, all by himself. And what do we have happening? We have the body coming into the Jordan. Our head's already there, but the body comes 2,000 years later to be joined to the head. You see that? And it's a corporate Joshua body. We'll show you more on that in a second. And Joshua is buried in a place in Joshua 24:30 called Timnath-Serah. Timnath-Serah means a portion of the sun. A portion of the sun. We as a body are a portion of the sun. It's only when we're joined to the sun that we're whole. The body and the head are joined. Make sense? It's only then that Joshua, Isaiah 30:26 becomes a reality, because the light of the moon becomes as the light of the sun. So once they're joined together, then they take the Jericho, the moon. And the light of the sun is sevenfold. Sevenfold. The greatest payback in Scripture, Proverbs 6:30 and 31, if the thief is caught, he must repay sevenfold. The father was the thief in the garden. He stole the light. He stole the light from the first Adam. And he's obligated himself to repay seven times. He has to work over 6,000 years, and that light manifests over the seventh day. The light of the last Adam that's coming here has never been seen in the world before. This is the manifestation of the sons of God. This is the atomic change coming in the bodies of those that are called into this first fruits company. This is the greatest show on earth. And what did Paul say? All creation is waiting to see the manifestation of the sons of God. Do you know all creation means all creation, I think? Every dimension, every universe. They're coming from everywhere to see the greatest show on earth, because it's never happened in all of history. It's happening here. And happening right before our eyes. And it can't happen until this breach is repaired. And this is what we're building up to here. And we find that it just so happens, Jesus actually shows in ways, I won't be able to show you all this tonight, but he shows in ways that are very interesting, right in the Gospels, that he is going to appear as Joshua. And I'll show you just one way at the cross through Numbers. 666, if you cube 6, it's 216, all right? That's the exact number of times the word Joshua occurs in Scripture. All right, this is very good. The moon has a diameter. Our real moon has a diameter of 2,160 miles. The 216 is the remnant. All right, 216 is the remnant, or the tide that brings the light of the sun to the moon. Make sense? Do you know the square area of home plate is 216 inches? Do you know there's 216 inches on every baseball? Red stitch, the double red stitch. Obama was born on the 216th day of the year. Obama claims his birth in Hawaii at exactly 21.6 degrees north latitude. Obama's zip code in his Chicago office. 60606 is 666 cubed, or 216. I'm going to show you before this weekend's over, he's everywhere. This is happening, and it's happening right now. You're probably going, get the tape, or tapes. This will begin to make sense. Rock and roll. 1994, I was quickened to the Gospels talking about the rolling stone. All the first three Gospels talk about the great stone being rolled away. You got to have a shaking before the stone can roll away and Christ can appear, right? It's a rolling stone concert, as I've called it for years. Elvis has played this out as a king. We did a tape in 2003. James has those, I think, on Elvis especially. Jackie gave me this prophecy a few years ago. A man named Jack Honston had a prophecy. He called it the Rock and Roll Prophecy. In 1997, he got this. Not many days from now, a mighty tumult I shall allow. The government shall rock and roll till everything shall be undone, till everything that I have said in all the newspapers shall be read. This nation shall quake and shake. Fearfulness shall grip the heart. Till Washington, D.C. shall come apart. Till every man's sins shall be made bare. Till all the truth shall be declared. There will be no place for them to hide, to run for shelter from how they've lied. Like wood to the fire, the truth shall be made known. Till all is seen, till all is shown. The word of the Lord that's gone forth from across the pond is a parallel of this word. There is an uncovering. There is a shaking. We are not to expose and uncut, we are there to bring the healing of the stroke of the wound and the repair of the breach. Others are assigned to do this. They're going to scream it out of their own mouths when the anointing hits. It's being set up. It's being set up every day. It's coming. And there's much more in the 216 and the 2160 to share. Not tonight. It's too much. And I think as far as what I was going to get into with the daughters of Manasseh can probably wait till the next time, too. What do you think? Pardon me?
Do it.
All right, we'll do that. In 2003, Stephen, one of his publications, he quoted me. Because of what we were doing at that time. I've been looking at this 144th anniversary for the end of the Civil War for many years, wondering not only would it be at Passover, but I could never have dreamed we'd be at Manasseh or Manassas, which is the Greek form of Manasseh. But you get a glimpse of this from 2003 when we were talking about the inheritance, and that's the theme this week, the inheritance. And Stephen labeled this one section, beginning on page 5 of his TLD publication back then, The Inheritance, Possessing the Land. He says, recall last August 13th to 23rd, back in 2002, how we held the 11-day prayer campaign. The journey of the law, signifying our journey from Mount Horeb to Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land. Then on September 21st, the priests put their feet into the Jordan to begin the crossing into Canaan, you know, symbolically. Then on September 27th, we poured out the vial. Then in October, we saw the circumcision of the heart of America with Benita's prophetic prayer work at the Washington Monument, as well as the Washington snipers encircling the heart of America. Then the angels beat the giants in the land. That was the World Series that year. And finally, we received a type of inheritance on November 10th to 12th. This was all a type and shadow of our inheriting our Canaan, the glorified body that we lost in Adam. As we said, we poured out the third vial on September 27th. At the same time, Tom Berry was led to pour out a jar of water upon the rock on the shore of the Mississippi River. That's the River of the Holy Spirit, its original name. This portrayed another side to the inheritance theme. Tom had gotten water from Bull Run Creek near Manassas, Virginia. This is back in 2003 now. This was where the American Civil War began, in 1861, involving the Jones Brigade. The North called it the Battle of Bull Run. The South called it the Battle of Manassas. We know that the bull is the symbol of Joseph in Deuteronomy and that the two horns of the bull are depicted as Joseph's sons, Ephraim and Manasseh. If we focus specifically on Manasseh or Manassas, the Greek spelling, we see that this is related to the topic of inheritances. Ronald just sent me an email recently explaining this. Quote, at Tabernacles last year, Tom and Michelle Berry brought water, which they obtained in a ford from Bull Run Creek near the city of Manassas, Virginia. Several years ago, I became quite curious as to why this battle site had two names, not knowing that most Civil War sites had different names from the north and south. And I found out that the north named the battlegrounds for landmarks such as creeks, while the south preferred the name of the nearest town. Well, the bull is a symbol for Joseph Ephraim, and Manassas is the Greek form of Manasseh. It wasn't until the last couple of years that my eyes were opened to the daughters of Zelophehad, being from the tribe of Manasseh. In pondering this, it suddenly hit one day that the daughters might show up in the 153rd chapter of the Bible, the number for the sons of God. I quickly calculated this to be the last chapter of Numbers, or chapter 36. I turned to it, and there they were in black and white, receiving marriage commands from Moses in order to keep their inheritance within the family. As I mused over this, it suddenly struck me again that they must actually receive their inheritance from Joshua. They couldn't get it from Moses, the lawgiver. They have to get it from Yeshua himself. And that's the corporate Joshua, who is really Yeshua, and that this should take place in the 204th chapter of the Bible. This turned out to be Joshua 17, and there it was again. I remember turning there, wow, there it is. Joshua himself is distributing their inheritance to them. Simply amazing. Then I suddenly remembered Psalms 144, verse 12, which says that our sons may be as plants grown up in their youth, that our daughters may be as cornerstones polished after the similitude of a palace. Since I knew that the number 144 represents the resurrected sons, and it's the gematria of Lazarus, as well as the elect and other similar word pictures, and the daughters are being described as cornerstones in Psalm 144, that perhaps these five daughters would also appear in the 144th chapter of the Bible, which is Numbers 27. And sure enough, this is a chapter where they first approach Moses and ask for their father's inheritance because he had no sons. As I reflected on what this might mean, I also realized these were the only three chapters in the whole Bible where they appear, where they're mentioned. While we know that 153 represents the sons of God and 144 is a picture of the elect, a brief explanation of the number 204 would be helpful. This is where the Great Pyramid once again enters the scene. As you know, the numerical wonders of this edifice and their eventual impact are even today almost completely hidden, even from those in the kingdom realm. We get lost in the details, so I will be as brief as possible. This solid limestone granite monument has a total of 203 courses, or rows of block. On the 50th course is a room called the King's Chamber. Within the King's Chamber is a hollowed-out red granite block whose cubic volume equals the Ark of the Covenant. Since we know that Christ is the Ark and that he is in our hearts, then the King's Chamber is a picture of the heart of the earth in Matthew 12:40, which also would mean it's the Holy of Holies. The Great Pyramid is the only pyramid in Egypt that was built without a capstone or chief cornerstone. This is reflected in the languages, in the language of Psalms 118:22-23 as follows. The stone which the builders refused, the Bilderbergers have refused this stone now, is become the headstone of the corner. This is the Lord's doing it. They've refused it, and it's marvelous in our eyes. Jesus himself quoted these two verses three different times, referring to himself. From the King's Chamber to the top of the existing platform where the capstone will rest is exactly 153 courses of stone. Since the total number of courses of stone in the Great Pyramid is 203, then obviously this chief cornerstone is number 204. Given the details of all of the above, it should be coming apparent that the daughters of Manasseh are a representation of the capstone. And Psalms 144:12 really nails it down by referring to the daughters as the cornerstones, and we polish gemstones, which is what the daughters are, such as red-headed garnets, Adam types, to bring out the beauty that is resident within them. And who has been more refused or rejected than the daughters? And to know it was all the Lord's doing, and that it's marvelous in our eyes. So we see from this that the water that Tom poured out on September 27th began to lay down patterns for the return to our inheritance, specifically the daughters, who certainly represent the female side, and they were not the only members of the tribe of Manasseh, but they did represent an important family that might have been disinherited had it not been for their appeal and for God's legal ruling on their behalf. No doubt they represent, in general, the bride of Christ. But on another level, it is certain they also speak to the women who are overcomers. In the past, sonship seems to have focused upon the men without realizing that the women have a right to inheritance as well. This was 6 years ago, pondering all Manasseh and Bull Run way back then, never dreaming we'd actually be at Manasseh on the 144th anniversary of the end of the Civil War. and it would be a Passover. There's a whole lot more to that, but I think that will have to wait because that's a lot of absorption for one day. Ah, I was asked about the deer. You see the dead deer? The dead deer, the only time you see the word venison in Scripture is with Esau and Jacob. The word shows up 8 times. It's connected to the transfer of the birthright and the theft of the blessing. And what struck me about that dead deer there, that this looks like this is a reversal of that inheritance coming back from Esau now to Jacob, lawfully. We can talk a little bit more detail about that. Yeah. Yes, I was made aware of that today. Yeah. There's so many numbers. The 153, too. I mean, we get into the 2160, the sun and the moon, and all that in greater detail. You're going to see, oh my God, this is just unbelievable how the Father has really, He's really polishing the stones now and cutting them very, very fine because we're getting very, very close. Between now and 2016, we're going to see absolutely extraordinary events. So, amen.